Today, I want to look at a number of things about walking in the Spirit, and I've called it the internal conflict. The internal conflict. Now, what do I mean by the internal conflict? I'll be looking at three things this morning. The first thing is that, as a background, God has empowered you and I supernaturally to walk in the Spirit. The second thing is this, however, if you're a human being, which I believe that you are and I am, you realize that there are times that you want to do certain things. You know, you've heard Pastor Benson preach that, you know, walk in the Spirit. If someone slaps you on the right side, turn the left so they can slap you as well. And you're like really excited. You want to do that. And you're looking for the person who's going to push you aside so that you can walk in the Spirit. And that situation arises. But something inside you says, you know what? I think I can. What the Bible has said, I believe it is true. But I'm just going to park that to one side so I can slap this guy back. Let me put that to that side. I can do that next week. What I'm saying is this. There is something inside you and I that will rise up each time and almost make it really difficult for us to do the things that we want to do. So you leave here and you're trying to walk the Christian walk. You're trying to do what God says, but something about you, something inside you is just like really struggling with that. That's the internal conflict. Now, why is that? We'll look at that in a minute. Then the last thing that we'll look at is, how do you deal with this conflict inside you where you want to do certain things, but it's like you're just not able to sometimes. So the first thing is this, as a background, God has empowered every one of us to live the Christian life. Do you understand? If we look at Titus chapter 2, verse 11 to 12, Titus chapter 2, verse 11 to 12, NIV. Now, that portion of the scripture tells us something. It begins to tell us that, paraphrasing, that the grace of God that has saved you and I is the same grace that empowers us to live the way God wants us to live. It says, the grace of God has appeared. The grace of God has appeared that offers salvation to all people. So a lot of us have no problem at all saying, okay, I'm saved by grace through faith. Ephesians chapter 8, verse 9 to 12. There's nothing that I've done to deserve the grace of God. I'm saved because of God's mercy. But it doesn't stop in verse 11. It says that same grace does something in you. That same grace empowers you to say no. It says, to ungodliness and worldly passions. So the difference between someone who is not born again and someone who is this. For the person who is not born again, every decision to behave in a particular way is achieved by sheer willpower, sheer force of character. So you see some people who say, you know what, I'm not going to do this, or let's not even look at, I'm not going to do this. I'm going to do this. But the sheer, it's just like they do it with grit, with sheer force of character. That's fine. But when you're born again, you don't need that sheer force of character, because God empowers you supernaturally by this same grace to do the things that you need to do. It takes some practice, as we saw last time. So God has given you this grace. This grace is not just the grace that saves you, but there's also a grace that empowers you to live life the way God, you know, has asked that you should live life. All right. So the other thing as well is that we're empowered by the Holy Spirit. So you have Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 to 23. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 to 23. That begins to talk about the fruit of the Spirit. It begins to talk about the fruit of the Spirit. So when you want to react in a particular way, that, you know, maybe someone says something offensive to you and you just want to let it pass. Now, the Bible tells us that there are two things working in your life. The one is the grace of God. That's the supernatural ability to obey and to do what God wants you to do and to do the things that you want to do. So there's that power working in you. However, there is the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit in you also does something. He produces something in you if you will let him. And he says, no, Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 to 23, begins to talk about the fruit of the Spirit. It says, but the fruit of the Spirit. He didn't say the fruits. Fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness. So on and so forth. So that means in you and I, the Holy Spirit is there producing these things in us. Producing these things in us so that you can become a kind person, not by your sheer will. Something in you will change if you let the Holy Spirit change you. So it's that. You know, your neighbors can see you and they say, wow, I knew that chap some years ago. And you know, that guy was a real, you know, and they'll say all those really interesting things about you. But now, look at this chap. He's changed. Why has he changed? Has he gone through a self-help program? No, if you're a Christian. This is saying that the Holy Spirit works in you. Do you understand? So, whether you realize it or not, the Holy Spirit is in you, working these things out. So, the first thing you want to agree with is that God has given you the ability to do it. Why? By the grace of God and by the working of the Holy Spirit. Now, let's look at the conflict that I'm talking about here. If you look at Galatians chapter 5 verse 17, Galatians chapter 5 verse 17, the Bible begins to tell us something. It says, the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want. Now, this begins to tell us, it begins to describe this conflict, that there's something about you that wants to follow God. There's something about you that doesn't want to be fearful. Bible tells us 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 7. There is something about you that doesn't want to worry. When you hear about the Brexit and all that, you're like, you know what? Matthew chapter 6, you don't have to turn there. 31 to 33 says, God provides for the birds in the air. How about me? Not to talk about you. There's something in you that realizes that. There is something in you that realizes that God has given you peace. Do you understand? All these things are there. There's something in you that realizes that. However, as you try to grab that peace, as you try to grab the ability to really depend on God that way, there's something else walking inside of you. There's something else saying, you know what? Leave that thing alone. You should be afraid. Everybody in this place is afraid. What makes you different? Forget about that thing. There's something in you. And that's where the conflict arises. Now, why does this conflict arise? There's something that we need to realize here. And I ask that you guys follow me here. When you're born again, first of all, there are three parts of you. There's your spirit, you have a soul, and your soul is your mind and your emotions, and you have a body. Do you understand? 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 verse 23, so that I can explain this thing to us and why we have that conflict. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 verse 23. The Bible tells us that it says, May God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. Now, this is you. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless. So, for every single one of us, we have a spirit. The spirit is the real you. Do you understand? You have a soul. It is your soul that has emotions and your mind. And you have your body that you can see here. The Bible makes this distinction. Now, when you become born again, it is your spirit that becomes born again. All right? Straight away. But it is your spirit that you don't see. You can see your body. For your soul, which is your emotions and your thinking, you know when you're sad. You know when... Do you understand? But your spirit, oftentimes, you don't know what's going on in your spirit. But the Bible tells us that for everyone that is born again, you don't have to turn there. 2 Corinthians chapter 2 verse 17. It says, straight away, all things have passed away. You have become new. All right? I'm going to do The American Standard. Look at the person who's sitting next to you and say, you have become new. You don't look like you've become new, but I am telling you that you've become new. Do you understand? So, the reason why I'm making this distinction is this. Your spirit has become new. But your soul, which is your mind and your emotions, have not become new. Neither has your body become new. The Bible makes us to understand one thing. The Bible says that our spirit is saved, but while we're on the earth, we will kind of like, should I say, just put our emotions, our thoughts under control, our bodies, well, till the point when we die. And the Bible says that we will have a glorified body. The Bible says that we will know all things. So between now and when we meet with the Lord, this conflict will always be there. But God has given us the ability to deal with our emotions, our mind, and our bodies. Do you understand what I mean? So, the first thing is this. This conflict arises because of this. Your spirit is born again. Your soul and your mind, they're not born again. It's a process that, you know, one has to walk through. All right, so, how do we deal with this? The Bible says a number of things. You have the responsibility to deal with your soul, your emotions, and your mind, and your body as well. And how does God say you deal with it? For your mind, there's one or two things that you need to do. Romans chapter 12 and verse 2. Romans chapter 12 and verse 2. It says, to overcome this conflict, you begin to deal with your mind this way. It says, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve God's will. What God's will is. His good, pleasing, and perfect will. So, this is saying to us that in order to overcome this conflict, you know that your spirit is the one that is born again. Your soul, your mind, you need to do something with it. You need to renew it with the word of God. So if God's word says something about you, you need to take that word, even if it doesn't look like it at that moment, and accept what God has said about you. Do you understand? So that's how you begin to, you know, to renew your mind. The other thing as well, if you look at Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23. The Bible begins to tell us something about what we should do with our minds and our emotions. It says, above all, guard your heart. In this instance, I'll just say your heart is your, kind of like your soul, your emotions and mind. For everything you do flows from it. So, the Bible says, guard your heart and renew it. So two things, guard your heart and renew your mind with the word of God. Begin to embrace what God says about you as being a Christian. Now, what does it mean to guard your heart and why should you guard your heart? This means there's something about your emotions, there's something about your thinking process that is open to everything. And whatever you expose yourself to is what you're going to, should I say, absorb. So if, for example, we say guard your heart. How do you guard your heart? What you listen to, what you pay attention to, that's guarding your heart. So if, for example, every evening when you get home, I think I give the example, you go to the horror channel. I don't know, you know. You switch the horror channel on and from 9 in the evening to 2 in the morning, you're just watching horror movies every day. I mean, you know all the horror movies in town. You can talk about the detail of this person doing and all that. What's happening in that instance is that you're not guarding your heart. You're exposing your heart to these things. And you know what? Your heart will absorb it gladly. And what will happen is that things happen and you become quite fearful. Where did that come from? You haven't guarded your heart. You know, or your emotions as well. You know, if I give an example now about the fact that your emotions can do a lot to you. If I got music now, just say, looking at your emotions, and I got music that's really, really, really touching, we can play music here to the point that it will almost bring tears to your eyes. I remember there was a concert that we did at a college during Christmas. And when we were singing at that college, we were singing about, you know, Christ and all that. And a few people were crying there because they were so moved by the music, by the, you know, the words and the music. Do you understand? It's the same way when there's music that you listen to that will do something to you. They can make you like, oh, why is my, someone is smiling here. They're remembering the music that their husband used to play for them a long time ago over dinner. So what I'm just saying is that as we expose ourselves to these things, they can either help us in this conflict or hinder us. So if we expose ourselves to things that are really negative, bad news all the time, all the headlines about Brexit and what's going to happen to the pound and all those things, we spend all day reading that. I mean, it's good information, but those things will begin to make the conflict slightly more difficult because you'll have all that fueling all the anxiety as opposed to God's word saying, you know what? Matthew chapter 6, verse 31 to 33. Irrespective of what happens, God has got your back, if I can use that phrase. So that's how we keep our emotions in check, by not exposing it to things that are going to make it, you know, and our minds as well. We keep our minds in check by focusing on what God has said in His Word, and again, not exposing ourselves to, you know, things that are going to cause grief for us. Now, I'm going to stop in a few minutes. So I've said a number of things. I've said in this installment of this series we're looking at, that God has given us the ability to walk in the Spirit. There is that conflict in us. Our conflict is because your spirit, body, and soul. However, God has given us a means to overcome in this conflict, and it's by putting our minds, our emotions, and all those things under the control of the Word and not exposing it. The last thing is this. One other thing that I believe that, you know, we should also do is this. The Bible tells us something in Colossians chapter 3, verse 2. The last thing here. Colossians chapter 3, verse 2. It says, set your minds on things above and not on earthly things. So the last thing as well here is our focus. The Bible is telling us here that we need to, when we've done all these things, you know, we've guarded our hearts, so on and so forth, our focus should be on God. Our focus should not just be, I mean, we have a lot of responsibilities here. We go to work, we go to school, so on and so forth. Those things are great. However, the Bible says that there's something that you and I need to do consciously, which is to focus our attention, not just on all the things we see around here, but on heavenly things as well. Do you understand? If we look at Philippians chapter 4, verse 8, Philippians chapter 4, verse 8, that begins to tell us something as well about how we remain really focused, how we can, you know, begin to overcome this conflict. It says, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, it says, think on such things. So if you find that, you know, you're having a really hard time with things around you, you're fearful, you're worried, so on and so forth, the Bible is saying, you know what, switch your focus, switch the things that you're thinking about. Don't think too much about what's going to happen next year. If this happens, you know, how are you going to do this? It says, you know what, just leave that aside. Intentionally focus your attention on things that are pure, lovely. Do you understand? Consciously. And as you begin to do that, a thought comes to your mind that says, you know, what are you going to do about this? You just take that thought out and focus on something positive. as the Bible tells us here. Amen. So I'm going to stop here today. So today we've looked at walking in the Spirit. We've said God has helped us. He's given us the ability to walk in the Spirit. There is a conflict, however, but that conflict is to be expected because we're spirit, we have a body, so we have a soul and we live in a body. And I've said that God wants us to resolve this conflict or put this conflict in control by checking our minds, seeing what we expose ourselves to in Jesus' name. So this morning, I just want us to just rise up and just pray this morning. And I just want us to pray one thing. The only thing I want us to pray this morning is that God should really help us to understand the things that he's saying. You know what? I don't want to be a Christian and my life is just like really miserable. And it's like, oh my goodness, everybody sees you. And they say, well, what's up with you? I'm like, oh, it's so tough being a Christian. There's all these things that... No. I want to be joyous because I know what God has done for me. Do you understand? So this morning, let's just pray and just say, you know, God, help us to understand the things that you've done in our lives. Help us to understand that you want us to walk in the Spirit and you have given us the ability to walk in the Spirit. Let us just pray in Jesus' name.